8:00, let's, this is the regular meeting for May 2nd of the Improvements Committee. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, let's move on to the monthly update. Is that you, Travis?
That's me. Thank you very much. On the SB 170 projects, there's really no updates since last, since my last month report, except for I have been in contact with Dewberry, and they reset me the schedule, and they're supposed to have something for us on the 8th of this month, according to their schedule. I've tried to actually physically contact somebody to talk to them, and I'm waiting to hear back. Yes, sir.
I have just a brief update from HDR and the water plant design. The electrical guys are finishing up their work, and they should be submitting to us a draft 100% here pretty soon.
Okay. The final report on the storm cleanup at this point, staff met with FEMA last week FEMA came out and looked at the CIA ditch and some other things that we had got repaired, and they are in the process of looking at all of our paperwork and seeing what direction they're going to go from there. We also met with them last week about how we can improve some items, just start talking about, instead of just fixing them, how we can make them better to last longer. Just go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, it was just a conversation. It was the starting of a conversation, mainly on the ditch. And so their thought process is, instead of just repairing it, let's make it better. If it's cost effective to make it better in the long run, then they're looking at that too. So we've started that process on that.
And there's some potential funding available. So we're going to talk about that when we meet with our district engineer next week.
Yeah.
About potentially redesigning the flume a little bit and the approach to the flume. And if it makes economic sense for FEMA to do so, they might fund those improvements,
yeah,
at least at the 80% level.
To the water plant, water plant one is up and running right now. We're running at about 2 MGD. Plant two is now down for maintenance and repairs. We've got a couple of CIP projects that we're working on, and just doing some regular maintenance. We did have a malfunction on the plant two filter room. The traveling bridge that actually goes over each filter when it's backwashing came off the tracks. One of my operators saw it, and he's like, that doesn't look right, called me, and we went over and looked at it. It actually, at the end of the bridge, or at the end of the run, the hood that sits over the bridge dug into the media, and it just, one side stopped while the other side go. We're just lucky it happened at the end, and we were able to get that back on. And so we're looking at that as to the cause of that to prevent that from happening again. Rio Oso, the VFDs have finally been installed. That project is complete on the emergency that we had up for emergency work done. Both pumps have been installed, and both the two VFDs got installed last week. So I'm trying to figure out what direction we need to go so we can remove that emergency declaration in the board meeting, so we don't have to do that anymore.
Yes. I think once all the invoices have been paid, the project will be complete.
Oh, okay. So
we can just remove it.
We are still doing the programming on the PLC, which was just a separate purchase order, so we can have the pumps start rotating, so they're not, so there's equal life on them. on the Integrated Water Master Plan. The district has provided most of the information needed to begin the Integrated Water Master Plan analysis. The consultants will be providing a working story map to update and memorialize each step of the plan as it unfolds. I'm going to be honest with you, Michael is more up on that. He can talk a little bit more than that.
Yeah, the story map is just a value-added piece to the Integrated Water Master Plan that will get posted on our website. And basically, after we get to each successive step within the study, that will provide all the information that we've kind of come to that date. So it's a living document that will provide information to the public and us on the process that we went through to get to where we were. So that's just another piece of the Integrated Water Master Plan.
I'm picturing a flow chart or something that goes from one to the next and it just says what you've done and where you're going.
No, I wouldn't say it's as much as like a flow chart or a Gantt chart. It's more of just like a document. It's like, oh, this is the history. These are the rules in which we play with the water board. This is where we are. This is the capacity of this. This is the number for this. So, you know, the facts continue to just move forward as the study moves forward.
Okay. At the wastewater facility, we turned the tertiary process on April 25th. We ran for about a day and a half, and then we turned it off due to some technical issues that are being worked on right now. And then with the rain, as long as we don't have any more rain, we'll be turning the plant back on tomorrow. So we can start sending recycled water to the country club as needed. The lift station projects, 3B lift station drawings are completed and approved by the district. We'll start moving forward with the bid process so we can get that job started and completed. Alameda and Starter Shack, those two lift stations are on hold due to the need to perform additional analysis for utilizing prefab drop-in units. And on the drainage at Lake 11, I've had an update since this was done. They actually got the locking mechanism on the top of the grating. It's been installed. I think it was done Saturday. I have one of my operators went over and looked at it. We're going to get a couple locks on it, but for the actual project, the work is done. So now we'll be waiting for the final invoices and billing to be able to be done with that project.
Travis, back to wastewater. Do you have any word on where the country club is on fixing their pump at Lake 10, and how does that affect us? Are we going to be storing a lot of wastewater while we're waiting for them to get back up to speed?
I know that I spoke with Art, and he said that they have a pump running over there that they're able to do irrigating over there. They've got it kind of rigged up while they're. I don't know what the process where they're in the process of the pumps. The last time I heard, they were having the pumps repaired, but it was going to be like 8 to 10 weeks. And as it sits right now, there's still too much water right across the street that they haven't been transferring. And so right now, the only place that he's asking for water is Bass Lake. So what the other option? An option that we do have is we have the Van Fleck fields. And we have to do a little bit of repairs. Those pipes get broke by the cows every year, so we're going to get the repairs done so we can start sending water back there as needed. Based on the calculations of the amount of water that we're going to have, we will be able to send Van Fleck. We'll be able to meet the country club's needs this year, no problem. And we're actually going to have to be depending on the Van Fleck Ranch to take more water than they normally do, which Jerry has told me every year we'll take every drop you can give us. So that is an option for us. And then, but as for me, we're on a daily basis talking with Art to find out what his needs are. Right now, we just have the plan we started the plan at $1 million, so we can send it over to Bass Lake. And then once he lets us know that he lowers 16 and 17 down, our valve will just automatically open and start sending it across the street. So it's all up to basically when he's moved the water.
So that automatically happens.
Across the street automatically happens. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that one is automatic. It's just gravity feed.
Our pumps just automatically turn on.
Yeah, they're responsible to pump from 17 to Lake 11. When it gets down, we have a float system on Lake 17. When it gets down low enough, it opens up a valve that we have at the wastewater plant, and it just gravity feeds across the street until it gets high enough, and then once the water touches the floats, it closes it back up.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I had a question on Rio Oso.
Yes, sir.
We're essentially done with those pumps. What about the next phase that we were talking about, like put a jockey pump in there or a tank in there? Are we going to study that?
Think that started.
Yeah, we had given direction to Dominicali for a study. We actually have a meeting with them next Monday, and we will be going over our current projects with them and find out, because we still have to do a building around the building and stuff to find out where they're at with that. So that is currently in process at this point.
Okay, great.
The site development for construction, I really don't have any updates since last report on that.
There was one update on,
except for this one,
on retreats. there was a few storm drains with negative grades, and we had sent KHAV a letter regarding either actually giving them the choice, either repair the incorrectly installed storm drains or provide us with sufficient capital to cover 20 years worth of, or 25 years worth of maintenance. We were hoping that they would just pick the repair, and it looks like they have. Tygart has started repairing those negative grades. There's a couple, two different troubles, major trouble spots.
Is there like a potential for ponding or something else?
A potential for sediment buildup. Oh, in the lines.
Just wasn't.
Yeah, this, yeah. But well, it instead, this way, it was this way. I never said I'd be the engineer to dig it up and fix it, but we gave them a choice, and they chose to fix it. So that was good news.
Okay.
So that's my report, if anyone has any questions.
Okay.
They're staking the Lot 12 water line change.
We haven't heard an update. Ron has actually spoke to the contractor over there, because we haven't yet gotten any update as to when they're wanting to do that.
They called for stakes.
Okay.
So I think within the next week, they should be going in there and doing that tie-in.
Okay, because that, then I'll get Ron to talk to him, because that's going to I don't want to say create an issue, but we're only going to, instead of having the loop system, it's just going to be a one system, one line for that whole area.
Well, yeah, we've got very deep disinfection. Have one feet, right?
Right, and so it just I'll have Ron talk with them, and since they're moving forward, and so I'll get an update as what direction they're going.
Yeah.
So, thank you, though.
I think we could do our own utilities for the most part.
Yeah.
Side meeting.
All right, let's move on then to security building alternatives.
So Amelia started doing research on trying to get additional quotes after our last board meeting, and so far, you want to scroll to the people that you contacted?
Here's the list of people that I've contacted.
So I think we're a little premature on getting additional quotes for the Safety Center, and we're recommending that we take this out at least one more month to see if we can get some additional quotes in to have more competitive pricing.
It's not like it was in the old days when you would say, how much is it? Now it's, well, we might have it, we might not have it. We can maybe lease it, but you can't purchase it.
Did you happen to look into the, someone mentioned at the last
yes.
board meeting
Mike
about
Martell.
The state?
Prison Industries. It was Mike Martell that said that he had two leads. One was Mobile Modular, who is the company that gave me the quote initially. This is the same quote we looked at the board meeting. And then the other one was the Prison Industries, and they haven't responded at all. Mm-hmm. If anybody has any more leads, I will gladly contact them.
Well, I'll ask around. We do business with for construction trailers, but I think we end up with Mobile Modular. That's
sure. Yeah. It just needs a restroom and a little kitchen, some offices.
Yep.
So I'm still working. I'm just gonna make them all my best friend and email them all every day. Call them every day. And now when they do respond, like on the email, they don't even have a phone number to call. It's just their email address.
What's the status of the contract? Did we cancel it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they were able to return a few of the items. Let's see, what was that? Wrong one. We're stuck with the windows, so we'll have to
auction this.
Yeah. Majority of the siding and lumber was returned. There'll be some kind of a restocking fee, but we're out for the labor for the work completed, the mold testing, windows, and like the Tyvek and some of the fasteners.
So we have possession of the windows?
We do.
They're over in the. Right.
What are you looking for? Something for the house?
They're custom windows. They're going to be tough to offload, but yeah.
Yeah, unless it's a new build. They built the windows around it.
So, we're out $22,000.
That's good. Got to be some way to unload them, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Surplus them and then,
eBay.
Yeah. Facebook Marketplace. That's the updated one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I will report back in June on this. Perfect. And I'll have an actual report in June.
Okay. Lost Lake Maintenance.
Wouldn't it take us to the GIS there, Amelia?
Yes.
Let me drive a little bit. All right, so it's time to think about Lost Lake again.
I need to put this on the screen.
Oh, yeah. I got an email from a couple residents. I asked for a list of the issues that they see with Lost Lake. They said the trees need pruning. There's some debris cleanup that needs to occur. Cattails, algae, fountains aren't operating. They're concerned about mosquito control. Resolution on ownership of the land that surrounds the lake. Well, that belongs to the country club. Removal of primrose and odor from algae. So Travis went over there the other day. Took a look around the lake, and the area. And indeed, our fountains and aerators are not working, so that's going to be the first order of business to get those back and up and running. Basically, they just push the duckweed away in certain sections that allows, you know, some of the odor to not build up, keeps it fresh, provides more oxygen. There is a fair amount of primrose that's grown in the lake, and last year we took a look at getting a quote from Solitude to remove that using their harvester. That would be like something you do maybe, I don't know, every 5 to 7 years. And so we got a quote, last year we had a quote for $9,000 to do that, to clean that lake up. That will get us kind of in where we need to be. I'm recommending that we do that this year. I'm also recommending including fixing the fountain and the aerator, to also performing some weed abatement just around the perimeter of the lake. And and I think that would probably be the, in my opinion, the limits of our responsibilities as our MS4. That property is owned by the country club. And I know last year we talked about, you know, is there some kind of an agreement with the country club that we had? We have immediately looked for it.
We have an agreement with RMA.
We have an agreement with RMA to run the fountains and the aerators. Thank you, John. But there's no agreement for weed abatement, and we just kind of took care of it with the goats last year just to, I don't know, because the precedent has been set. But I think it's time that we change that precedent and shift that responsibility back to the landowner. That's my personal opinion. But we're definitely will get started on harvesting the primrose and do some maintenance directly around the lake. Our crew has, you know, a lot of things to do, like fix pipe and do other utility repair. I'm not necessarily sure it's the best use of district resources to weed eat the country club's property. So that's kind of where we're at.
Refresh my memory on RMA's role in this.
It's really weird.
They pay the electricity?
Yes.
For the fountains?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
But we maintain them.
I think it's they maintain electricity and the fountain, and I think it'd probably be easier if we just maintain the fountain and the aerators, because we're already going to be in the lake. If they continue to pay for the electricity, that's fine. That's, you know, that's the terms of the agreement. But that's the only agreement that we were able to find on Lost Lake.
What do you, do we have an idea of when we would want to do this work?
We're going to work it in this spring. And the primrose, you know, as soon as we can get Solitude out here to get it done, we got to take it somewhere, I imagine, once they harvest it.
Yeah, we could probably, we'd have to, I mean, this was a bid last, I mean, this was, you know, last spring when we did it, when we got the bid. So we would have to get put on their schedule again to have them come out and do it. And the person that we normally work with, she's no longer with the company, so we would probably have to have whoever our rep is come out, take a look at stuff again.
There's a RMA maintenance committee meeting Monday morning. And they do Calero, or not Calero, Chesbro, and they've got that dredger, probably the same people we use, right? Let me scope it out.
Yeah, let's know.
See what, if they've got plans to do something somewhere else, and I can't speak for Rod, but I know he's very concerned about Lost Lake, and he may already have plans So let's make sure we're coordinated.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Not double.
Are you going to be attending that meeting?
I can't be there, but I'll talk to Roger.
Okay, yeah, because I think we've got a meeting with our engineer that Monday as well.
They've got a, they're going to introduce their new maintenance manager.
Well, it may help them kind of fund their maintenance efforts, you know, if we could work out something.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, let me dig in that, and I'll let you know.
All right. Thank you.
Recycled water infrastructure.
Okay. So there was a, Rand, I think it was you that asked at the board meeting that we bring this up at improvements. Back to the GIS.
Go back to the GIS?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let me drive.
The camera's not here.
I'll scroll up. Thank you, Amelia. So there was a question at the last board meeting. Hey, we've got all this extra recycled water. You know, why aren't we providing to the gardens and retreats? And there's, you know, I look forward to doing that someday, but we're not there yet. There's several legal items that we don't have at this time. First being, our WDR requires us to do a Title 22 engineering report and the use area expansion report prior to serving any new discharge areas. And those would take a little while to get done. And then I believe there's also an education portion of this and several steps that need to be taken with the potential new users, especially with the dual plumb system. Like we have in the gardens where they have recycled water for the yards. I think it's great that we have the piping all in place. There's also a few engineering items that we don't have. Now, I believe this pipe here was recently installed. I think we got a little grant to do it. So now we have a pipe that can intercept, you know, the pressurized recycled water supply to Bass Lake. What we don't have, and I've done some research with regard to reading through the 2018 recycled water study. I forgot the name of the large engineering firm that did that. And there's a storage and a pressurization aspect that we currently don't have in this system yet. Yes, there's pressure in the Bass Lake line, but only when the pump is running. And I don't even know if that pressure is sufficient. I don't know what that pressure is. Some of the things that we're going to need to feed our future customers is they've talked about several potential storage tanks. Like, we build a new storage tank at Bass Lake. We procure and refurbish the storage tank on Lookout Hill. It's a potential storage tank. We utilize storage on site at the plant and use a hydropneumatic tank to provide pressure to those systems. So we don't quite have the infrastructure in place to utilize those. And it's important to remember that we have to also make sure that what we set up has the correct chlorine residual. So the chlorine residual that we're sending to Bass Lake is going to be much higher than the chlorine residual that we're going to send to our new recycled water users. You know, that chlorine residual is quite high going to Bass Lake because it's going to mix in with the other lake waters in the golf course, and so you're hitting it a little higher. That's correct.
Yeah, and our WDR states that we have to be at a minimum of 4.5 parts coming out of our pipe. We are generally higher than that, but we don't like to skate that line, you know, because since we're not here 24/7. So we are generally at about 8 parts coming out of there. So, and that'll burn up people's grass at that high of a chlorine residual. So that's one of our challenges on how to take care of that too.
So there'd probably be a separate chlorinating system, probably, if we set up a hydropneumatic tank to be able to handle the pressure. We might be able to, it's possible we might be able to use on-site storage that we already have and then just provide booster pressure. But like I said, we're not quite there infrastructure-wise. A lot of this is going to come out of the integrated water master plan on ways to move forward. But we definitely want to start serving our other potential residents. And then there's the matter of, you know, how can we bolster our recycled water supply? This year we have, you know, a windfall by about at least 50 additional acre feet. But, you know, there's years where we have less than average. And so we're also looking at ways, do we harvest, are we able to harvest additional stormwater potentially? Are we able to harvest some water out of the CIA ditch to blend and retreat for recycled water? So we'll be taking a look at those things, the infrastructure required and the legal requirements in which to provide that recycled water.
John?
Your name, sir?
John Sullivan. I'm discussing this on behalf of Rancho Marietta Properties and Rancho Marietta Country Club, who are the entities involved in the first availability agreement. The policy issues are kind of important here, even in advance of what we do to valve and store and deliver, because the district made a decision to utilize the water augmentation money to be involved in the recycle business to augment supply. If you send it to Van Vleck, you don't augment supply. So unless you offset potable with recycle here, you're theoretically not pursuing the policy that was laid down when the recycle agreement was put together, which was studied and adopted by the board. And in 2019 and 20, we were asking if the rate study, which ultimately only changed the raw water rate, would be inclusive of the recycled water rate that was going to be developed by the district. And it was determined about halfway through that study that they weren't going to do the recycled water rate study. They were only going to do the raw water study, and so we as the developers don't have clarity on what the augmented supply is doing to truly augment the supply. And that's integral to the ability to develop out our property. Because if we had a well and that was ultimately decided that they weren't pursuing the well, it's the district's responsibility to augment the supply. Originally it was the developer's responsibility, but when the second amendment of the acquisition and service agreement was entered into, all the development properties agreed to be assessed a water augmentation fee, which has grown from $2,500 now to, in some instances, $13,000 per house to augment the supply. And the augmentation is through the use of recycle to offset potable. Now, when augmentation was agreed to, the shortfall was 1,300 acre feet. But because density has eroded down to where we're going to be around 4,000, maybe 4,100 dwelling units rather than 5,100, the augmented need is maybe 300 acre feet. But if we don't have potable offset, we don't get there. And we've made the financial commitment. You're collecting the augmentation funds under the augmentation agreement back when it was signed. If you don't have a project, you got to refund the money. So we need the augmentation to develop the project. You need to have a implementation of a pricing and a EDU. When you have an ED, for example, at Retreats West, the average water use there is like 0.28 EDUs, not 0.7, because they're using recycled water for the landscaping, 1 meter, and then everybody uses their domestic, you know, the domestic comes to the house, averages about under 150 gallons a day. So whereas you had a 0.7, it's more like a 0.2. Well, that has financial implication all throughout the whole EDU system, and it, you know, you've got $13,000 potentially over here, and you're still collecting the improvement fees here. So I don't want to say time's a wasting.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
It's been 8 years.
Understood.
And the developer is, and the developer's customers continue to pay the impact fees, but it's time to raise my hand and say, hey, let's get the job done from the decision-making process of how do we have a recycle EDU, how do we reduce the impact fees for the units that actually have recycled water capability, and then how do we implement it so we're not short water when everybody's raising their hand and say we don't have enough water. Well, this year we have ample water, and we're going to give $180,000 worth of water to Van Vleck for nothing. And the grand jury is critical of us for giving water to the country club at no cost. Well, it's not at no cost. There's lots of costs involved here, and everybody pays their share according to the long-standing agreement. So I'm just encouraging that we don't keep putting us on the long finger because we can't do it anymore.
Yeah, and John, that's why I asked for this topic to be on the agenda today, so that we do get started and get a plan. There's lots of obstacles, Michael was talking about, as far as permits and engineering that has to go into it to figure out how we pressurize and get the chlorine right and all those things. And all that has to be done before we figure out what we're going to charge for it, right? Because we don't know what it's going to cost us at this point. We don't know what it's going to cost to pressurize it. We don't. But the point is, we're going to get started on it now. Sure. We're going to get a plan, and we don't know where this thing is going to go, but we're gonna have a step process here to get to where we need to get to.
So back when we entered into, or when the board accepted the recycled water study from Kevin Kennedy, there was a concept about how the line would be pressurized and how everybody would have to coordinate their recycled water use during the times the water was pressurized. I raised my hand and said to Kennedy, in front of the district's engineer and my engineer, and said, that seems like a tremendous amount of coordination when you do sometimes and at other times don't have recycled water in the pipes. I said to him, it's nuts.
Yeah.
But that's what they did. But if you look in the recycled water study, it provides $6 million pumping at the reclamation plant, the Lookout Hill rehab pipeline that was supposed to go up to Stonehouse Park, which we, you know, forewent because it's that little section
didn't make
was
any sense.
$4 million for 190 houses. That was out of, you know, beyond the pale.
So now the whole thing has to be restudied. Where does it? How much water do we think we're going to have? Where's the most economical places to get it to? Obviously, Village A is a good prospect. Retreats. We already got the piping over one. I'm just at this point more interested in the process than I am the details. And so, how do we get this thing jump started and figure out what the process is to get all this work done, get the permits, get the engineering done, and figure out all of these details? And that's why it's on the agenda today, and that's why I want to get something started. And I think a good, Michael, jump in here.
Yeah.
But a good place to start is let's get a list of things we need to do and prioritize.
Well, that's actually all that is being addressed currently with the there's two parts in planning that were the steps that we're taking. The first is this is absolutely addressed in the Integrated Water Master Plan. And second, as water augmentation, and as John states, there has been a significant amount of money that's accumulated in the water augmentation account that we have. You know, year one, there's not enough money to do anything. Now we have some money to do something. It took a little while, and things don't happen right away with public agencies. Things take a while. We have to build up the funds. We got to do the proper planning. So step one is. And look at that analysis in the Integrated Water Master Plan and how that offsets potable use. Step two, I put, and you'll see at 10 o'clock, I'm going to ask for significant funding for recycled water augmentation studies. So once we decide what we need, then, and we'll have some ideas about how we can augment the recycled water supply, that study will talk about how we can actually augment that. Because right now, there's not enough recycled water to do everything that we want to do. We've got a lot of good opportunities. We've got, you know, a contract that at some point will probably be renegotiated with the golf course in, I think, 2028. We've got potable use for new developments. There's not enough water for everybody. And we have to give Van Vleck water every couple of years just to keep that safety valve in operation. So part of that recycled water augmentation study that I'm going to be asking for, and I'm hoping that we can get grant money for that. I've hired Adkins Engineering to apply for some grants. We'll hopefully fund part of that. And we'll take a look at, are there ways to augment our recycled water? Could we utilize additional stormwater? Do we have the right to do that? If not, how could we get the right to do that? Could we utilize some of the water that flows down the CIA ditch? Because right now, the district doesn't use a whole lot of water from the CIA ditch. We sell a little bit of it to RMA. It goes through Laguna Joaquin, and that's really it. So if we could tap some additional water from the CIA ditch to blend in with our recycled water, that's another idea. So we need to flesh these ideas out. So the Integrated Water Master Plan is going to say, you know, this is how much recycled water you have, and this is what you can do with it. And then the recycled water augmentation study will say, well, this is how we could get additional recycled water. So those are in the works.
Okay, and that's what I wanted to hear, that we're moving forward with a plan.
Right.
My only concern is these things tend to, okay, well, we're not going to do anything until the water, Integrated Water Master Plan is done. Are there things we can be doing along the way that won't hold us up later? These, like you talked about getting permits.
The Title 22 study.
And we know we're gonna want to send water over to the gardens. Is there things we could be doing right now to get that going? Because
there's probably a few things we could do.
Yeah.
You got to handle how much money's in this pot.
I don't have it right in front of me. I think it's a couple million.
Plus, there's about $600,000 that was borrowed for the water treatment plant from that fund.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but.
And then there was an audit report that said that there was some money that was used for water occupation that needs to go back in there that was used for other purposes other than the project.
So whatever money is in there could be used for some of these studies.
But I'm going to try to want to get a grant pay for the, if possible.
That's even better.
Yeah, yeah. I think we want to try. Want to try to save that money for infrastructure.
Okay. It's very clear. You cannot use water augmentation funds for studies. That was why the district was criticized in the audit report back in 2019, I believe. It only is for a project.
District, I'm not arguing with you, John.
District has to identify the project.
Right.
District has to build a project. The developer's got to pay the water augmentation fees. So right. Only for projects.
This is, you got a finance committee meeting today?
We do. That's on 10 o'clock agenda. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's something you guys should square away.
I'm not planning on using water augmentation money for any studies.
Okay.
I don't know what he's inferring.
That was just my question. Yeah. Could we?
Got it.
And I'm not necessarily sure that John's correct, but we can look into that if we want to try to use it.
Well, I like your idea of getting the grant. That would be ultimate.
I actually have it slated in the budget upon receipt of grant.
Okay. Anything else, Marty?
No.
Yes. Yeah, let's stay on top of this and make sure we're doing everything we can to get that going. Because in the meantime, I mean, we come to next year and we've got excess water and we're still throwing in that Van Vleck. Maybe we can't get it done by then, but the sooner we do get this thing going, the sooner we stop wasting.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't started sooner.
I did it. Is there? Do you have any idea how much it costs to do a rate study for this recycled water?
A rate study for the recycled water?
Yeah, to figure out how
probably,
much.
We could probably add it. I've been given no direction to charge for recycled water until like 2 seconds ago. So I mean that could be added to the 5-year rate study, capital improvement study that we have out. Just add that component.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Not sure.
So I'm assuming we're talking
not sure
about.
You have all the parts and pieces you need.
Yeah.
To do the study, but at least we can start thinking about it.
And we don't necessarily have those, but we could. As part of that study, we could take a look at what other agencies charge. That might have some significant impacts on negotiations with the country club in 2028.
No doubt.
But we all, another thing we need to keep in mind is our number one priority is to remove our effluent. You know, the two things that I learned from my mentors in wastewater treatment plant design, the two biggest problems that you have, what do you do with the effluent? What do you do with the sludge? Everything else is money and engineering. But if you don't have those two things, you're not in business.
Yep, makes sense. Anything else, Marty?
Nope.
Gotta beat that. That's a good start. I like the fact that we're starting to think about it and coming up with a plan. Next item on the agenda is Clementia Potable Water Storage.
You want to take me back to the map?
Oh, the map is big news this morning, isn't it?
Well, it's just maps are useful.
I took a picture of that last one.
And Travis, this is where I'm going to need your help.
Just put it in there.
Let's see here. That's probably it. We'll wait for Randy to get back. Oh, look, there's someone not, they're not cleaning up after their dog. See right there.
Right there.
Got him. Got him.
Live action?
Live action.
Live action.
No, it's not. It's not live. It's not live action.
I know.
Michael, I believe Shannon had chimed in on that project issue on recycling.
Okay, great, great. About
project only.
Like infrastructure only.
Yeah, whatever.
No studies, but can do probably preliminary design and design.
And then we
project.
Then we know about.
Yeah, so like, so that's design. When I think of project, I think like when you start with the study. Then you move on to engineering, and then you move on to construction. But he's saying no.
No, no, he didn't. It was the auditors brought it up, and then Shannon was informed, and then he discussed it at a board meeting.
I see.
When the audit was
about the no studies with the...
When the audit was...
It was in the management letter to the board.
In the last management
letter? No, not the last.
I'd be happy to challenge that if I needed to.
2018, okay.
All right, so there was another question about Clementia, and I believe that was you, Randy. You had a question regarding potable water use out of Clementia, or someone had the question, and it got sent to this committee. I can tell you the download from our water rights expert when I had a meeting with him as part of the Integrated Water Master Plan. Some people say that you can't use water in Clementia for potable water. Some people say you can use the whole thing, and neither of them, both they're half right. So according to our water rights, we can't utilize any of the runoff that goes into Clementia for potable water use. We cannot.
I remember the question.
Yeah, we cannot. So that is specifically stated in our water rights. What we can do is any water that we pump into Clementia from the Cosumnes, we track that volume that we put into Clementia. We can legally take that volume out for potable. And so that's the legal definition of what we can utilize in Clementia for potable if we wanted to utilize anything. It's the water that we pump in under our water right is what we can utilize. And as a matter of fact, we do pump into Clementia every year. We just don't utilize it for potable water. Correct, Travis?
Correct. We just
top
off. What
do we pump in every year, just out of curiosity?
Normally, lately it's just been, we'll top off from the spillway to the top of the batter boards every year. Last year we didn't get a chance to, but
so probably like 8 acre feet.
I'd have to look to see what it is from the spillway to the top of the batter boards. But no, the past 3-4 years, rain has been filling up Clementia to the spillway, and then we will we'll end up topping it off to the top of the batter boards through pumping, which is so it's 2 feet of water. Two feet up of water that we pump in there.
It's probably like 120, 130.
Yeah, I'd have to. I have the numbers on a sheet.
So basically, there's somewhere here is a manhole. And do you know where that is, Travis?
Yes, we located it. Ron and I located
I mean,
it
on this map. Where?
I can't see the map.
Oh.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
Yeah. There it is.
There we go. So, we're all talking about the same thing.
It's roughly right about in here.
And there's a pipe.
This is the raw water line that comes from Brantley's. Right around in here, there's a manhole that we uncovered, and there is it's down deep. So we would have to, it's a confined space entry to go in there and take a look at it. But according to a document that I found, that there's a cam lock that connects onto that pipe. That we would have a pump, like a rainforet pump, sitting on top of the levee here, and we would have a hose that would be shoved into Clementia for sucking out, and then there's a hose that would connect into the cam lock on that pipe, and then we would pump it in, and then it would...
It goes to Claro.
And then it would end up going to Claro.
So this is the raw water line from the Grand Lease pumps, and apparently there's a manhole that we could tie into if the district ever wanted to utilize part of Clementia for storage. Now there's a couple of engineering problems. One is there's no automatic pump, so this would be something that you would have to drag out a pump to utilize. The other issue is Mother Nature kind of beats us to the punch as far as filling up Clementia. It fills up so quickly with rainwater, there's not a lot of storage opportunity because we also need the rainwater to get the Cassoonis River high enough to where we can pump out of Cassoonis River. There is a potential, and we're going to be taking a look at this in the Integrated Water Master Plan, given the previous data, what areas for storage exist both at the beginning of the season and typically towards the end of the season. So, like I said, the rule is whatever you pump in, you can pump out for potable water. And, you know, there's also, you know, this old, where is it? There's an old pump station down here that used to take the water from Clementia and take it to the water treatment plant. I've been told that those pumps are not operative.
That whole setup's not operational.
And that would probably be, I mean, we'll take a look at it, but it would probably be more efficient that if we're able to get enough storage out of Clementia year after year, it would behoove us to potentially put a pump station, an automatic pump station, so where we can track what goes in, take that from what goes into Clementia, track that, and then what takes to Claro and track that. And so you'll need a flow meter on each side.
As I recall, the last integrated water master plan we did, part of the controversy was how much water is available out of Clementia, and I don't remember the details or how much water was said to be there, but I do remember it being a controversy over whether or not that was totally recreational or could be used as a backup. Do you recall any of that?
I think there was a thought that we could use more of it than we could legally, but I think part of that was there was an assumption that you could get an emergency permit to pump some of the recreation water, and that's something that you have to try to get ahead of time. I'm talking about what we can do like today, like if we needed to do it this season.
Sure.
Water rights take a long time. You know, that could potentially be a 10-year process to be able to get us to a point where we had an emergency exemption. At the end of the day, if we had some horrible super drought and that's all we had, we'd use it to take our lumps. But that's not where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing this plan, so we don't end up in that situation.
All these facts have been given to Maddow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had one meeting with our water rights expert, and then we've got another one, I think, tomorrow to address some of those issues. There were some additional questions that we have. So I'm feeling very confident about this version of the Integrated Water Master Plan, that we're digging deep, doing our due diligence, and looking at different alternatives.
Including, yeah, I wonder how Bass Lake fits into this conversation. I'd have to think about it, but what if, I mean, that's gravity flow. What if you gave the golf course some of that runoff water and then were able to pump more water that we don't, I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah,
sorry I started.
No. I mean, and there's also things like, we can just pump into Clementia if everything else is full and just let it overflow and it's pumped in, pumped out, but it doesn't work that way. You can't offset it that way.
They pay close.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we have to. If we
but
were going to,
it doesn't make any sense that the OE3 built that dam there. Why we can't use runoff water out of a reservoir that was obviously built?
That was the
for
original
water storage.
That was the original reservoir.
Make any sense.
Yeah, that's just the way the right is written. We can utilize it for recreational. We can utilize.
And I don't think we would not just use it for recreational unless we got into a drought situation where we needed it. But shouldn't we attempt to change the permit to match the conditions so that we could use it if we needed it?
Well, that's the other conversation is, do we want to go down the road of getting a permit to be able to have an exemption on that and be able to use the potable water? And that's a long-term process. The water rights that we have now, I think we're asking for a 40-year extension because we don't know what development's going to look
so
like.
So we want to get past that before we ask for any favors?
That's a question. You can always ask. You know, it's not going to penalize us for asking for additional.
Who is spearheading that renewal? Is that
our water rights consultant? And
should we bring this topic up with them and see what they think about us asking?
That's part of the discussion we're having tomorrow, I think, or Thursday, those 2 days. So that's one of the things that Mattis Adkins wanted to determine, like what's the possibility of that, and what would be the timeline and any cost related with that?
All right. Well, it sounds like we're on top of it and trying to do some good things. So I'm happy. Marty?
No, every little bit helps. I don't know when we'd use it, but nice to have in our back pocket.
Okay. Well, if we can eke out, you know, another 300 or 400 acre, or even, you know, 500-700 acre feet, like the cost of a pump station is cheap compared to excavating additional storage. So that's a very cost-effective storage potential for us.
But since it's really just a backup for drought conditions and we want it to be recreational, the plan of hiring or renting a pump and pumping it into that manhole as a backup plan during a drought seems to be like sufficient for what we would need. I
think we would do that every year potentially.
We would.
Because you want to show, if you don't show storage use, you lose it. So we need to start showing, and Travis has been pumping in there, we need to start showing increased use if we're going to utilize that storage, because as you know, storage is really expensive to create. If we can utilize some of the storage in Clemencia on a regular basis, that's very cost-effective storage for the price of a pump station.
Yeah, we don't want to draw it down below where it's usable. Recreation.
We can't.
Oh, that's true.
Because we can only
take out what we put in.
Right. And the runoff provides, you know, in my opinion, sufficient volume for recreation. We're just saying, like, well, how much can we utilize out of that for storage? Because I know there was plans to, at one point, taking a look at increasing the volume of Calero. And there was a pretty hefty price tag for what didn't seem like a whole lot more storage. So this is a potential that we've found that we could utilize some additional storage every year for a low price.
Do we know if that line from Granley's is operational?
Yeah, that's the line that we use to pump to Calero.
Which line are you talking about?
That's the 33-inch.
Just a manhole.
Where we want to tap into the manhole.
Yeah, that's our regular line that we use every year.
And the manhole's got to be okay, right? Otherwise, it'd be leaking.
So we're going to presume at this point, because it's got a...
It's sealed.
It's sealed with a whole bunch of bolts. What I can do is, if you'd like, I can find that that paperwork I have on it, and I can forward it to you if you want.
But based on
the picture, because we haven't gone down into the manhole. Based on the picture, it's a round cap. That's got a connector on it.
Okay.
Do you want this on the agenda for next month?
I don't believe we're going to do anything between now and next month on this subject, are we? This is kind of a, although I would like to hear what they say about it. Good. About asking, yeah, let's talk
okay.
about it.
And okay.
See what our consultant says about our odds of getting anything further. And that leads us to chlorine gas release after action report.
So. As you guys know, we had a little bit of a release that was contained inside the room, and there never really was any danger to the district or the surrounding areas. But what we've done is we've done an after actions report to kind of go over what we learned and what could have been or what we could do better or improve on. Or things that happened. Some of the things that we learned, some of the lessons that we learned from the event was, number one, the regulator became loose during the automatic shutdown of the chlorine feed valves. So what did the actuators did their job. As soon as the buzzer went off, they closed down like they're supposed to. But it gives it a really hard torque, and during the winter, we don't change the tons as much because we don't have as much usage. So what I found out is when I removed the actuator and I went to check the regulator, it was loose. When I went to tighten it, it was loose. And so when it torqued on there, it moved the vacuum regulator just enough that when we turned the plant off, there was no more vacuum, and so there was enough for gas to come out that was in the pipeline. So I'm in the process of creating a preventative maintenance SOP where we do our safety checks once a month around the district, and what we're going to add is regulator tightness checks once a month to our safety safety inspection. That way, if for some reason this was to happen again, the regulators will stay tight. I'm going to be documenting specifically how I want it done, as long as that SOP is followed, we shouldn't have this problem if it happens again. No. Number two, the employee entered a potential dangerous atmosphere without proper protection. Based on the instructions that I gave staff, I was at home and I was giving directions based on the information she was telling me on the phone. And once the plant was turned off and there was no more vacuum, when she went into the room, she immediately told me there was a strong smell of chlorine. So I asked her to immediately leave the building and call 911. One of the things that we can improve on that is if, you know,
she set the buzzer was set off on accident when she was doing cleaning. So there was nothing in my mind to believe that there was an actual leak until it happened, and then we reacted accordingly, and unfortunately she was injured a little bit and was sent. We're going to have more training on proper PPE safety, you know, to where we won't have any injuries again if that was to happen. The other thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be putting a safety cap over the buttons so they can't accidentally be hit. That's what OES, that's what they recommended. They go, that's the direction that we're going to be going on that, so we won't have that accidental hit of the button. The other thing that we learned is that our after-action reporting guidelines are federal. They weren't California, and so California has a little bit more stricter guidelines. I did not report the leak because federal guidelines say if it was less than 10 pounds, we don't have to report it. What I found out from our CalARP regulators that California states any leak at all needs to be reported. So I called once I found out from him, I found that out the next day. And so we made, I've done all the proper reporting. And we've also updated our chlorine, our crisis communication binder and our chlorine spill guidelines so that we do it properly if this happens again. Number four, apparently, and this was just told to me by the chief, apparently the fire captain on shift didn't know where the water plant was. So the water plant doesn't have a physical address, never has. And I know what happened is when Paul was here, once a year he would coordinate to have all the current fire captains that are working at the fire department at Station 59 and Hazmat come out once a year so they can see the facilities because staffing changes and stuff. And so it was news to me that those fire captains didn't know, because I know one of them lives in the district, and I thought all these fire captains I've been seeing there for a while. So that was news to me that they didn't know where it was at. So one of the things that I'm speaking with Michael about is we want to reach out and get back to doing the annual meet and greet with the hazmat and the fire captains so this doesn't happen again. Step five, the emergency chlorine button was accidentally pressed. As I said, we're going to be putting covers over those so that this doesn't happen again. And that's what I have for the after action report. Do you have any questions?
Biggest danger, the chlorine getting in your lungs, is that the biggest danger?
Yeah, it's the biggest danger because chlorine gas, when it mixes with the liquid in your lungs, creates hypochlorous acid, and it burns your lungs.
Is there something like, I know if you get chemicals in your eyes, we have eye wash stations. Is there something similar to that?
No, there isn't.
There's no eye wash station?
No, there's an eye wash station for the eyes. He was talking about if it gets into the lungs. And so what we've done, what we found out is apparently Mercy Folsom is not prepared to handle any kind of chemical treatments like that. What we did find out is Concentra, who we go to for all of our medical stuff, they have the training and the knowledge. According to a staff member that got hurt, Mercy Folsom, she never even saw a doctor. They did an x-ray and monitored her to where her levels were and then just released her. And then what we ended up doing was when she said that she was still feeling bad, we sent her over to Concentra, where the doctors did another chest x-ray and monitor and did some other treatments to help kind of soothe what was going on inside.
Her lungs were temporarily irritated.
Yeah, so there was some irritation. She, like I said, she didn't breathe in a lot, but she breathed in enough to create an irritation. I think a lot of it too is she was scared. She got scared, which rightfully so. Chlorine is a nasty chemical, and so we need to review training. Decisions that were made were based on information at the time, but it is my department, so it is, I take responsibility, and we will make sure that do everything we can to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Very good, Travis. And this all becomes moot when we get our new system.
That is correct. Then after that, we can just dump hypo all over us and walk around. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
You have to write that down.
I was just kidding, Gail. No.
In this meeting before we
do something weird. We are almost to the end here. Director and staff comments. Staff, anything? Any comments?
No, I think I made all my comments.
I'm good.
Marty?
I have nothing to add.
I just I wanted to clarify, because I'm kind of stuck on this. I'm going to think about this idea of Clementia and Bass Lake. Does the permit say we can't use any runoff for any purpose, or does it potable?
I was merely focused on potable. I think we can utilize Clementia for, I'll have to look to be sure, but I think there's some, we can utilize it for irrigation potentially. So, but I,
for,
like I said,
as raw water.
Yeah, like, I can't.
Like transferring it to Bass Lake.
Yeah, I can't speak intelligently on that, but I believe that's probably the case. But
which
I find
brings
out for sure.
Back into the recycle how much water we would have.
I was primarily focused on potable at the time.
It's an interesting subject.
Yes.
And that leads us to adjournment. Thank you. 9:17.
Thank you.